is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the New World Report. I welcome my correspondent, Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society in North America, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Bogota of the Colombian legislature. She is in North America traveling. So we begin with our discussion of the votes in South America, in Latin America. Two critical votes in these last hours, preliminary results pointing to directions and reactions. Joseph, I begin with you because in these last hours you've flashed reports to me about the election in Peru pitting a man who is identified with the left, with populism, Castillo, against a woman who is identified with the right or the traditional vote of the middle class and the industrial class in Peru, Fujimori. The results that you presented to me in these last hours look like an American election. I think that must be a success. It's razor thin. As a CBS broadcaster once upon a time, Dan Rather used to say, tighter than a tick on some animal he talked about, you know, cattle. So tight as a tick in Peru. What can you tell us now, Joseph, knowing they're still counting the votes? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, Peru is very, very close. This is actually a case where the polls were actually correct. The last poll that came out about a week before the election that took place this Sunday on June 6th were that Keiko Fujimori and Pedro Castillo were in a statistical tie, meaning that they had less than 2% of a difference in their electorals. And that's what's happened. The difference is very, very small. It's apparently less than 70,000 votes. Right now it shows Keiko Fujimori with a slight lead, over, her opposition, Pedro Castillo, with about 90, 91, 92% of the vote counted. Many people are looking at the overseas votes. Those are going to make a difference, particularly, the Peruvians that live in Spain and in the U.S. Those are sizable diaspora populations. So right now people are thinking that Keiko could pull it out, but it's still very close, and it looks like we're not going to have a final result until Wednesday or Thursday. But here's the larger picture, John. The larger picture, this is really a bad scenario for Peru. It's facing a political crossroads because either outcome is really not going to create any kind of stability for a country that's already had a lot of instability over several years. If Keiko wins, which is looking possible, likely at this point, it'll be with a very small margin in a country that's very divided both geographically and politically. Geographically, Keiko's supporters come mostly from Lima and the north of the country, while her detractors are from the south. So you literally are dividing the country into north and south. And then politically, the Congress is more fragmented than ever. And obviously, she would win with like a 50+1 margin, which isn't that much, which will give traction to social conflicts and separatist movements, actually, along the south. And then the other scenario is if Castillo wins, who's an ardent communist and someone that's already been proven to be tied to narco-terrorist groups, well, that would essentially most likely mean the end of democracy in Peru. So in either scenario, what you can tell is that Peru's in peril, and it has a lot of instability coming its way. So we'll see what happens with the actual electoral outcome. But I think one thing that's a safe bet is that Peru's going to have some instability for weeks and months to come.
Senator, a very good evening to you as well. Your analysis of what we're seeing so far in Peru, are you surprised that Keiko Fujimori did this well to be imminently possible as a president? Is that a positive given we were expecting the opposite to happen?
Well, she has done an excellent job because Keiko has suffered since very long time ago from the very bad media that hates her and compares her with the things that his father was accused. So she, I think it's a very strong lady. This is her third opportunity. It's not easy. I'm very worried because we have seen that the difference is stretching. It's very short. It's probably gonna be like a technical result, which has to be waiting where the votes get. As Joseph said, there is an expectation of voters that live outside Peru, migrant that has come to live in the U.S. and Spain especially, and that's our hope. We hope that she can defeat this communist, because just by knowing that he belonged to the Shining Path ideology and that his mentor is Cerrón, which has been condemned of corruption and is openly a Marxist, put us again in Latin America in a very high risk of keeping our freedom.
A second critical election on June 6th. I follow the CNN reporting. Mexico elections 2021. López Obrador, that's the president, loses grip on power in midterm elections marred by violence. This is a report from CNN in these last hours. Mexico's ruling political coalition is projected to lose its qualified majority in the lower house of Congress after a poor showing in midterm elections on June 6th. The defeat will prevent President López Obrador from passing major legislative and constitutional reforms without the help of opposition parties. Joseph, I begin with you, because again, the reporting these last weeks is that López Obrador, AMLO, affectionately known, was on a roll, very popular, and consolidating power, not only in his executive office, but with the courts and with the army. So is this a surprising turn?
Yeah, it's a bit surprising, because AMLO was coming in with a lot of popular support. Some polls suggest that he even had upwards of 60% of popular support in Mexico. But it's showing that that's not his popular support is not carrying over to his political party, which is called Morena. Now, AMLO wasn't being reelected. These were midterm elections, so they were electing congressional members, they were electing governors, they were electing mayors. And in that, it didn't seem that that carried over into his political party. His political party is actually losing seats, according to the early counts. They won't retain their majority on its own. Morena, in the 2018 elections, were able to have a majority in the Congress. They lost that majority. It's looking like they lost that majority in the most recent election. But with their coalition, they would still maintain it, although it's not quite the same. They're also losing mayor seats in different parts of Mexico, particularly in Mexico City. It's interesting, Mexico City is looking much more divided than before. And before, Morena, AMLO's political party, had a lot more traction in Mexico City. That's one of his strongholds. You have to remember that AMLO was the mayor of Mexico City several years ago. So this is one of his important strongholds for the country. And I think the voters are in Mexico are, despite the popularity of the president, are not very keen on the political platform and more particularly the political party Morena, which is a sign that Mexico may be looking to establish a broader coalition against the president in the future.
Maria, again, these results, given the reporting over these last weeks, these results were unexpected. How do you measure the fact that AMLO, while still in control of the executive, he has three more years in his term, and his party is powerful, but how do you measure that the Mexican population was reluctant to give him more power? Is that a positive?
Well, again, it's a critique that we always do against our population. It means that we are still not mature to understand the risk of populism and the risk against our freedom in different ways, our economic freedom, our freedom to decide of ourselves. So it looks like Latin America again entered in a cycle where promises, despite the results, which economically AMLO has been a disaster, there is a job loss extremely high, also increased by the COVID. But again, it's like a comedy, and people love to be lied. They like politicians to lie to them, to express, maybe to connect to their hate of past governments, maybe to create fantasies among people's expectations. But finally, it's a very immature electorate that are not reading their own disaster.
Joseph, the tragedy of the subway train, the metro train in Mexico within last days, number 12, I believe, is the line. It was said in the reporting immediately that the present mayor of Mexico City is answering questions, but the previous mayor of Mexico City, now a member of AMLO's cabinet, and you mentioned that López Obrador was a previous mayor of Mexico. Do you believe that subway tragedy affected this vote?
Well, it certainly didn't help. I think a lot of things could have played into factor to lower the political party's chances to gain that majority in Congress that they wanted to pass the kind of constitutional reforms that would play into AMLO's strategy. But I think one of the biggest differences here, and I think the big lesson that we can take away, is that there's a difference between personality politics and policy platforms. AMLO might be popular. He's found a way to connect to the poor in Mexico. He uses a lot of populist tactics, like he takes commercial flights and he eats tacos on the side of the road. And that's all good for show, and that, you know, may get him some popular support. But that doesn't mean his policies are any good. And I think while people might not attribute all his policies to him, just particularly, it does seem that the Mexican people are attributing it to his political party, which is called Morena. So I think that that's the big lesson here, that you can separate personality politics from a political party and a policy platform where that's not popular. AMLO might be popular, but his policy platforms are not.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society in North America, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia legislature, also traveling in North America. We're going to turn to Colombia when we come back, because there's disorder across the country, and the president has made statements in these last, President Duque has made statements these last years. Is it advancing the story of solving the turmoil? This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor, and this is CBS Eye on the World.